From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, creation, how science is reinventing life itself. Get ready for that. Here's what's happening. Our dear friend, the father of modern-day ufology, as I call him, Stanton Friedman, suffered a heart attack Friday. We hear now that he is home, somewhat recovering, laughing, so that's a good sign. Prayers with you, Stanton. Thursdays, doctors will decide what other options to proceed. Keeping our fingers crossed. More than 600,000 Facebook users have taken part in a psychological experiment organized by the social media company without their knowledge. Maybe it was you. Facebook altered the tone of the user's news feed to highlight either positive or negative posts from their friends, which were seen on their news feed. They then monitored the user's response to see whether their friend's attitude had an impact on their own.
Jeez.
In Middleton Township, Pennsylvania, fire officials in Bucks County are investigating what caused a laptop computer to simply explode, injuring the woman who is using it inside her home. The fire chief there says he's been fighting fires for 25 years, and he said he's never seen anything like it. The laptop exploded. The woman's skirt caught fire. She was burned on the face, arms, foot, chest. It appears the battery pack inside the computer simply went off like a bomb, sending debris 6 to 8 feet away. Protesters voiced their anger over the controversial water shutoffs in Detroit. It's a tough situation. The Detroit Water and Sewerage Department sent out more than 46,000 shutoff notices in the spring. They have so far turned off water to about 4,500 customers. Community activists and religious leaders met outside of the governor's Midtown office, asking him to impose an immediate moratorium on the shutoffs. They also want the city to work out some kind of affordable payment plan based on a person's income. Horribly tough situation. One, you don't want to shut off people's water or utilities. My gosh, they need to survive. But some people pay, other people don't. Let's check in with Catherine Austin Fitz, our investment advisor. Catherine, this is a tough situation. What do you do in a case like this?
This is very tough, George, because if you look at the water operation in Detroit, its expenses are greater than its revenues. So you've got to get the money from someplace, and there are lots of different things that can do. We started to see something happening in Detroit that you saw in Latin America when this happened. It's called participatory budgeting. And, when you have a city like Detroit that's had significant drop in population and now filing for bankruptcy, we're going to have to see the sort of solutions are more and more citizens getting in there and participating in the budget, giving their time and figuring out, okay, how can we make more, how can we get more from less? Because we're going to have to, I've got to tell you, you've got to balance your revenues with your expenses. Something's got to give.
Well, water is probably the cheapest of all the utilities. It's cheaper than natural gas. It's cheaper than electricity. And if people can't even pay their water bill, what's it going to be like in the winter when they have to pay for that gas and they have to keep their furnace running with electricity?
It's very tough. It's very tough, George. And in fact, we can expect sort of the prices of basic things, food, et cetera, to go, to rise. So now is the time for people in Detroit to look at growing more food locally and, finding ways of doing more with less.
All right, Catherine, thanks so much. And you're going to be with me in the studio sometime next week. I'm looking forward to that. General Motors' latest recall, man, it just doesn't stop. They have now recalled another 8.4 million vehicles today. Why? Because of faulty ignition switches. The majority of the cars are in the United States. It's a disaster for General Motors. They're working on settlements now for the people who have died because the ignition switch went off, the airbags didn't work, the cars would crash. I wonder where they had the switches made. I don't think they were made in the United States, because I think our workers would put together some pretty good quality stuff. I suspect that these ignition switches were made overseas. Maybe we'll find out. And Chrysler, they're adding about 700,000 minivans and SUVs to a 2011 recall to fix faulty ignition switches. The latest recall, the Dodge Journey SUVs, the Chrysler Town & Country, the Dodge Caravan minivans from 2007 to 2009 model years, both sold in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. You know, when I was a kid growing up in Detroit, the workers there, wow, they had so much pride building American-made cars with American-made parts. Doesn't happen anymore. Atlantic City started the year with 12 casinos. By Labor Day, it could be down to 9. Casino saturation. Let's check in with Howard Bloom, the human computer. Well, here's another industry that's taking it on the chin, Howard.
It's an implosion, but it looks like an implosion. But in reality, it's an explosion. 2,100 people in a day lost their jobs in Atlantic City when just one of these three casinos that is closed. But you have to realize something. In 1976, when New Jersey legalized gambling, there were no casinos whatsoever in the Northeast Atlantic Strip. Today, there are 48 casinos.
Wow.
When Atlantic City started building its 12 casinos, it was alone. It had a monopoly on gambling. Today, there are 28 casinos were built in just the last 10 years. So the real gamblers here are not the people at the table who are laying down their money and trying to make predictions about what number is going to come up on a roulette wheel. The real gamblers here are the people who are financing casinos and making the decision to plunk their money down. And 48 casinos is more than the Northeast Corridor can handle. Something had to give. And unfortunately, what's giving is Atlantic City. But there are two other factors to keep in mind. One is that 34.4% of the population of Atlantic City lives in poverty. That means to get to the glittering boardwalk with all of those incredible casinos, You go through a slum. And to me, when I did it, to go down to meet with Stevie Wonder a long time ago, it was a jarring experience. It is not a good entertainment experience.
No, it's not fun.
To feel like you are rolling money when other people are rolling in pain. So it is not the ideal place to go. And they built a casino called the Revel, and the architecture is gorgeous, and it was meant to appeal to real high rollers. But Atlantic City is known as a working-class gambling town, and upscale people do not want to come back to New York. They want to come back to New York saying, I spent the weekend in Paris, not I spent the weekend in Atlantic City.
And revenue there since 2006 has plummeted.
It's cut in half. It has gone down from $5.2 billion to $2.86 billion. And there's another little factor, and that is that the American wages have stayed at the same level since roughly 1998. They've been frozen. So the amount of excess money, gambling is an entertainment experience. It's a luxury sport. And the amount of money people have for luxury may conceivably not be what it was in the days of Atlantic City's prime.
Howard, we'll talk to you soon enough about some other issues, too. Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf has warned that anyone caught hiding suspected Ebola virus disease patients will be prosecuted. She told state radio that some patients had been kept in homes and churches instead of receiving medical attention. Sierra Leone issued a similar warning last week, saying some patients had left the hospital, simply gone into hiding. The outbreak, already the deadliest on record in West Africa, 635 cases, 367 fatalities. But what's going on with Ebola? Can it happen here? Up next, Stephen Quayle on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. It's called Xenogenesis, Changing Men into Monsters. Stephen Quayle with us for the next couple hours as we talk about what's going on this planet, including, of course, all these strange viruses that are out there. Stephen, always a pleasure. How are you?
Ah, thank you, George. It's a delight in one way to be back on you, but it's also kind of bittersweet again, because now we're talking tonight about Ebola, and we're also going to talk about anthrax, we're going to talk about tuberculosis and chikungunya, some of the diseases that are loose. But on the Ebola, the thing that's really concerning me and should be concerning everyone is the fact that they can't really yet tie down the specific strain of Ebola. It used to be pretty easy. There used to be a class of four filoviruses, and then they changed that. And what's critical is that when I look for key words in any press release, one of the most unusual words that you can even begin to embrace in this whole Ebola outbreak is an unseen form, if you will, or an unseen strain of Ebola. To me, you know what that immediately says, a genetically altered form. And here's what people really should understand. When I started talking with you, when we first addressed the whole idea of all the scientists that were being murdered, and they were being murdered, whether it looked like an accident or not, they all had one thing in common. They had all at some point worked in either an organization or they had been in special compartmentalized intelligence units of specific laboratories and universities that dealt with bioweapons. George, to put everybody in perspective, you and I dealt with Dr. David Kelly's death within days of him being found in a park in England, in London specifically, and I said he did not commit suicide. He was murdered, obviously, inquest and everything. But getting to the bottom line in this tonight is that, let me just share with people, when you begin to see, and when I say this, rats bailing off the ship, you know the ship is going on taking down water. And what's been happening at the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, is alarming to me. This is one of those neon signs that says something's going on. And I'll quote, an exodus of key leaders and scientists from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention Atlanta has raised great concern among five of the six former directors who led the agency over the past 40 years. Putting that really in quick encapsulated bottom line language, they are bailing out. The most visible sign, writes this story in the Atlanta Journal, a sign of potential trouble at CDC is the loss of more than a dozen high-profile leaders and scientists since 2004. By the end of this year, all but two of the directors of CDC's eight primary scientific centers will have left the Atlanta-based federal agency. I believe a lot of people know what's going on, and obviously we've got whistleblowers like Snowden and others trying to tell the real state of the union, the real state of what's going on in the government. But what people have to understand is all the years that different guests on your show, Coast to Coast, and the radio shows I've done with so many people have addressed this, is the plan to lower the population of the planet. The fastest way to do that is with genetically altered strains of some of the most deadly viruses in the world. And remember when you and I spoke of Ebola pox years ago, the combination of Ebola and smallpox?
Sure do. And it was a disaster then. It's worse now.
It's worse now. So what's really troubling to me is that, to put into perspective, the entire genome for the Spanish flu, as you know, was sequenced and it was put out on the internet. Now, if insanity rules the day, triple insanity must rule the power elite, to the point where they want to mock the people of the planet for what they're getting ready to do. And I think that the people have got to understand, you know, everything is about nuclear weapons. But when I wrote my book, Breathe No Evil, I started talking about this, as you know, good 15 years ago, when it wasn't even popular. Most people didn't even know, really, in those days, outside of scientists and weapons designers, about bioweapons or chemical weapons. But the point that is, a nuke may be able to destroy a city, but the flu virus, genetically altered, is potentially a destroyer of civilizations. So when you make the entire genetic sequence known universally, the point being is that you can almost buy do-it-yourself a genetic manufacturing kits now, and the point being is that you can buy a mass spectrometer and some of the scientific instruments that you would need, and also gene splicing stuff used on the secondary market, stuff that used to cost $1 million for $10,000. So any microbiologist who is obviously at a PhD level, or anybody who was a former weapons designer. You and I spoke years ago. For instance, a Boris Pashnik, he was one of the scientists murdered. And I would encourage everyone, you know, to go to the Dead Scientist link and look at this. But when we saw defectors like Ken Alibek talking about Ebola pox, you know, when he testified before Congress, the U.S. military and others gave him such a hard time, saying, well, that couldn't possibly be possible. Guess what? Not only was it possible, it was accomplished. So the key to this is for people to watch the headlines and watch for simple changes in language, which can be huge in their ramifications. For instance, Fox News is talking about their story is, can it come to the United States? I think people have got to understand that the global pandemic and this hodgepodge of different viral agents, then you take into account that I've now begun to call chemtrails the atmospheric Petri dish. Mm-hmm. And I mean, seriously, when you take into context of the genetic mutations of viruses as they're exposed to ionizing radiation, i.e. from Fukushima, i.e. from Hanford, people who are watching the nuclear readings across the country, obviously across the Pacific Ocean, and we're seeing absolute cause and effect. Never in the history of the world has the mainstream media been so silent and so, I would say, complicit in the death and murder, I'm going to call it what it is, of so many people. It will go down in history, just like the WIP, the weapons plant in Carlsbad, that, you know, where we're storing radioactive stuff. There's been a release down there. People are reporting all forms of cancer, and still they're silent. So given the effect of the mutagenic nature of these different viruses and the heretofore unseen specific strains, I would say this. We are experiencing literally in accelerating motion the global design for population reduction, and Africa is the test tube of the globalists. It always has been, and it now is in full play.
Steve, what about Saudi Arabia with MERS, this Middle Eastern respiratory syndrome that has a 35% fatality rate? Ebola looks like it's over 50%. These are huge numbers.
They're huge numbers, but you know what? They're not even starting numbers for the people that design this stuff, because they openly speak, and I've openly quoted them, different spokesmen, that they want 70 to 80% kill ratio. Let's take MERS, and let's take SARS, and let's take all of the different derivations of any type of respiratory illness. So the way that, obviously, and even a pneumonic plague, when we're dealing with these type things, you have to have a vector. You have to have a transmission agent. And what's fascinating to me, you and I did also, and I'm just putting people into perspective, George, how long ago we covered this. The South African scientific community and Wouter Basson designed race-specific genetic weapons. You can go on any search engine and type in DNA-specific bioweapons and see all the postings. They're in the millions. The point being is that now the whole situation with MERS, understand, if country A wants to blackmail country B, and they can basically send a little sample, and you know that the specific or the majority of your population has a determined genetic marker, and you basically give them the hint, you guys step out of line and we release this. I think that MERS and other viruses like that are, if you will, telegrams of the potential that certain belligerents and others who want something to extract something, I call it basically test tube terrorism. That's what I believe is going on in Saudi Arabia.
Stephen, we're going to take a break in just a moment. I want to come back and talk with you about anthrax and some other viruses that seem to be popping up all over the place. Why do they seem to all be hitting right now, Stephen?
Well, I think the timetable is in play, in motion. And people tend to look at this stuff as linear, but when you see it like I do and you're saying it's all hitting at the same time, it's designed to hit at the same time. When you want to defeat an enemy, you overwhelm their senses. And with everything going on with immigration, and we'll talk about that, you know, I basically coined a term a number of years ago, infectons, people who are intentionally infected with some of the most communicable and deadly disease, basically walking into situations where, for instance, in Ebola, the incubation period can take up to 21 days. So if you infect someone on day five, they can go through half the airports in the world for the next week before showing any signs. So it's my contention, George, that it's a simultaneous release of biological weapons designed to basically rid the population of the desired at least one-third of the world's population.
Stephen Quayle with us for a couple hours. We'll take calls with him next hour. We will be back in a moment as we talk more about xenogenesis, changing men into monsters. And welcome back, Stephen Quayle with us. Stephen, let's talk a little bit, too, about chemtrails. Any updates there?
Well, I think the greatest update that I've received recently is on my website, stevequayle.com. A listener and it was basically, they took a wrong turn to someplace in Nevada and ended up at this secret air base, George, where all the chemtrail planes are loaded and unloaded. We've seen now complete interior shots of the aircraft that disperse the chemtrail components. And this is what I want to share with people. When they look at the sky and they see different colors of rainbows, and they hear the official report that they're just this or that, you know, some kind of atmospheric anomaly. That's not true. What people are seeing is the spectroscopic. They're actually seeing the sunlight diffused and reflected through the different chemical compounds. A spectroscope will show you and tell you, you know, what is the component element in a flame, or, you know, there's obviously ones that you can use in different optical spectroscopes. But what's happening based on this couple, and it's on my website, and because of the way my website is set up, I couldn't put the whole narrative in there. But if you go to viewers' photos, you'll see, and it's interesting, they even power their whole, if you will, a secret base that no one officially acknowledges. And oh, by the way, when the guards came to basically tell them to leave, they were sarcastic, saying to the couple, oh, be careful, you don't run over any desert tortoises. The way the military, obviously, and others are trying to get control of all the different land, we saw it at the Bundy Ranch, we're seeing it in Texas, New Mexico, all of the states that obviously border other countries, is to, quote, claim that some species that becomes pretty irrelevant is in danger. So what it is, you'll see the tails, and because they took it with a camera phone, it's not the greatest photo, but it gives you a feel for how elaborate the chemtrail spraying is. One of my concerns has always been that the chemtrails will be used as a binary delivery agent, and the point being is that we do not know all of the different chemical interactions with the viruses. So like I stated before we went to the break, I'm now calling chemtrail spraying the atmospheric petri dish of the chemical and biological weaponeers.
So true. There's a pig virus hitting this planet and this country, Stephen, killing millions and millions of pigs. What's that all about?
Well, the official name of it is porcine or porcine epidemic virus, and they call it PEV. And what's interesting about that, George, for the last year, I think it's almost a year to date, maybe in last May it started, and fascinating, it didn't start, and they weren't dealing with it in the hog industry until a delegation from another country came to view the hogs, okay? Literally, it's a true story. So what this is doing, it's basically causing the little piglets to die, and I think it's between 3 and 4 million hogs have died, forgive me, the piglets, and that's really affecting the bottom line of the ranchers and those who farm these things, and point blank, people who have gone to the stores are seeing the price of bacon and sausage and all pork products rising dramatically. And this is something that I dealt with in my book, Breathe No Evil, and Breathe No Evil is available, but I will not be reprinting it. I only have 200 more copies. You remember when we talked about that, it's interesting. I started out my imaginary war on the United States where basically the Chinese, that's who I named as the bad guys in my book, were basically attacking the agricultural industry. Then the white papers, which is basically the whole defense plan for China. If people notice the belligerence and the warlike rhetoric, it's so fascinating to me that China now owns 70% of Wall Street, literally. There's rumors they own the Federal Reserve now, and that our tax revenue, and yet we're still seeing this attitude. And by the way, we're under a, I would would say a livestock attack and a people attack. I shared with you in the questions that I think I sent Lisa that the thing that I'm expecting next is hoof and mouth disease to break out, because if you remember when we first started doing shows together, that's what broke out in England, where they had to slaughter all the animals. So it's going by a book, it's going by a script, and it's my contention it's all designed to be released at once, simply to overwhelm the medical systems. And when you've got the top people at CDC quitting and saying this thing is, something's wrong, something's falling apart, I think that's more evidence to basically affirm what I'm sharing.
Immigration, illegal immigration. I'm all for legal immigration, people, you know, having a better opportunity in this wonderful country. But it's out of control right now, Stephen. And with so many people trying to cross the border, some of them could be sick. Some of them could be carrying illnesses and viruses. What do we do about that?
Well, there should be medical screening. But again, George, I would say the way this arose was to the whole situation. You've had Border Patrol agents. I know you've seen the reports. Eyewitness testimonies, these guys said there's so much tuberculosis coming over. I even saw a couple reports of leprosy. What's fascinating to me is simply this, that there's a lot of ways to fight a war. And by the way, I am also for legal immigration. And, you know, I believe that there's no issues against that. But when you overwhelm the borders, and we're talking other than Latinos, too, we're seeing so many, if you will, sworn and avowed enemies of the United States coming through, that simply, that's where I get the word infectons, which basically means you intentionally expose human beings to some of the most deadly pathogens. You get them across the border in all of the mayhem and chaos, and there is no one checking for them. I think that is the sheerest, either insanity or it's the most well-planned biological weapons delivery program that's ever been plotted, planned, and schemingly put into operation.
I think so, too. So of everything that's been going on over the last couple of years, what would you single out, Stephen, as probably the worst offender of this possible plan of eliminating the population?
Well, I think again, that it's in our face, George, when you reconstitute the most deadly flu in the history of the world that took out more people in 3 months than the entire World War I did. I'm talking the Spanish flu of 1918. And you and I did a show, just putting it in perspective. That's one nice thing about getting older. At least we can refer to, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. The point being is that they took a live biopsy from a soldier that had died an Eskimo in the permafrost and basically reconstituted it. And I want to share this. When you and I first started talking about mad cow's disease and Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, CJD,
yep.
If you remember, I said, look, that came into our country and into the entire, if you will, knowledge base of Americans through the biological weapons development of New Guinea headhunters. When they would eat the brains of their victims, they came down with Kuru, okay, K-U-R-U. So we sent a bunch of guys down there, bioweaponeers. They culture it and bring it back and make a weapon out of it. For the record, the Syrians are now experiencing the same thing, which would be mad cow disease, which is a form of bovine spongiform encephalopathy, but they're experiencing it on the human level because in many cases there's actual cannibalism going on, and they're catching the same disease that has been released and that was cultivated out of the headhunters, interesting, in New Guinea. So we're now seeing, if you will, the coordinated release of all these bioweapons and pathogens, and I believe that's because the New World Order has basically stated, and we've quoted this, ad nauseum, at least I have, that by consent or by conquest, there will be a new world order. The point is, it's going to be by conquest. And the biological aspect of this is, when I say sinisterly brilliant, to flood the borders, to basically get your top scientists knocked off, that means assassinated and murdered, and basically leave it to acts of nature. The other thing that we need to talk about is Tom Bearden, in his marvelous work and God bless him, but there is a whole, you're going to love this, quantum potential weapons, which the Russians pretty well pioneered, that when the United States had its embassy in Moscow in the 70s, in essence, imagine being able to broadcast a disease. In essence, you can take the disease and the actual, if you will, frequencies or the harmonics of that disease and through a quartz window. I'm making this super simple. I'll put it up on my website for the people that want to delve into it. But when we're talking about quantum potential biological weapons, most people, that just goes over their head. But simply meaning this, it can be broadcast. Disease can be broadcast. All the science is there, all the studies, all. And, you know, the first thing that happens when we say something like that, I don't believe it. Well, of course you don't believe it because you don't know anything about it. So what we're seeing now is an increase in behind the scenes in what I call, and Hawk made the statement, you know, the back channels, are people are coming forward to say, this is what's going on. Unfortunately, George, no one's ever release the studies, especially our government, with all of the Wi-Fi, with all the electromagnetic frequencies and the irradiation from off the cell towers and everything else. All those things, all those, if you will, waveforms of energy have negative effects on human tissue. You can try and deny it all you want, but the science is there. So basically, convenience, and I would say this, the convenience and the sheer curiosity of people being able to stay in constant communication, they the Illuminists, have built into this thing multiple fallback positions where they can generate this. And then Fukushima, behind the scenes, you remember when we started talking about the core meltdown and people would say it never melted down. Now they just admit it.
Of course it did, yeah.
It's insanity, and it's truly insanity. But again, the mainstream media will not deal with this stuff because the same mainstream media is controlled, primarily six networks are controlled by the global financial interests, and it's literally Skynet now on steroids.
Do you see the day where, let's say, the situation in Iraq totally gets out of control? Of course, it already might be. Will there be a release of biologicals out there to kind of shut those people down?
Interesting, yes. I believe that the biological is the hold card. In other words, if you are a behind-the-scene puppeteer and you've made a terrorist army, and you know that terrorist army is fueled by everything that fuels it besides the finances, but you stir up whatever fervor there needs to be stirred up, the ace in the hole that you maintain for your control is to have a specific bioweapon that can be used against those individuals when you need to rein them in. And that's what I think the sad part is. We're seeing where law enforcement used to be to protect and serve, we're seeing the militarization of law enforcement in this country, and yet there's no mention of all the gang warfare that's going on that's coming across the border. There's no mention of the release. And by the way, 36,000 felons weren't released. The true numbers from insiders that contacted me said it's up to 72,000. So imagine 72,000 people that someone knew were going to be released, and then obviously having weapons warehouses, and we talked about that years ago, the pre-positioning of weapons throughout the country. So I'm sorry to say this, but we're at a position now where the enemies without are within, and it's going to be a very, very difficult situation, and I'm trying to be as kind and gentle as I know how.
And you know, Stephen, though, I'm beginning to sense that something is going to happen within. It just, everything out there just seems to be pinpointed toward something that is going to happen. I mean, I can feel it. Do you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's interesting because Solomon was one of the wisest guys in the world. Whether people believe or not, he really did exist. And he said, when the wicked rule, the righteous mourn. And somebody says, explain to me, Steve, I've been in contact with a British film company that wants to come over and do an interview with me. I'm not saying whoopee, I'm just saying they have. And they said, what has changed in your country? And one of the answers I give them is the foundations of the country are changing. The entire structure is changing. And a good example is this, is look at we used to talk in the prophetic future of a one world religion. That's happening right now daily. In Rome and embracing all Islam and even the evangelicals are signing on to it. Then a one-world currency. The whole point in bringing the United States to its knees financially is to get rid of the American dollar, which has been the basis of all trade in oil. And so Russia and China got sick of worthless dollars, and even the administration that now inhabits Washington said they're going to kill the American dollar. I don't think people understand what that truly means, George. When the dollar dies and the financial crash comes, and everybody has seen the headlines so long they've been jaded, it's almost like a normalcy bias. But at that point, everything changes. And if we see the war in the Middle East escalate through ISIS and everything, which I believe it will, at $200, $250 a barrel gasoline, we've never been here before. And been here before is such a country weakened from within, attacked from without, and our military, all of the flag officers and all of the battle-hardened and seasoned generals and admirals and missile launch commanders. Look, these guys aren't being fired for cheating on a test. These are some of the most psychologically profiled and trained individuals in the world. They're being fired because they won't sign on to the will you fire on Americans? The whole attitude is that there's going to be an uprising in this country that is generated. And what's fascinating is one of the ways, and this is critical, is the biological attack on food is going to become more and more prominent. And the headlines, you're going to see more meat recalled. You're going to see more statements that, we need an artificial supplement. The GMO, genetically modified people, food, are going to be at war with the non-GMO. All the legislation is designed to take away choice from the people. And someone said, where does it all end, Steve? And here it is. It ends with the control. These people that are bringing all this to pass, it's just like a script.
And it's like, worldwide, too, isn't it?
It's worldwide, yep. And it just doesn't, how do I say this? It doesn't get better. Remember, we used to talk about this stuff in the future, and you'd say, well, I sure hope not,
Yeah.
Well, it's that's why I say it's so heartbreaking to see, because it doesn't take a rock scientist. For instance, a woman sent me an email today. They went to a Burger King in Florida, and on the door, George, was a sign saying, closed. Our supply trucks did not bring our food to us today. Now, that's a national chain, okay?
Oh.
And so can you imagine? Look at Katrina. Remember, and I'm just making a statement here. When people couldn't get what they were used to in fast food,
they panic. They riot.
They panic. And so panic is going to be the order of the day. And most people need to know this. In a system of martial law, every food source in every community, whether it is a restaurant, whether it is a grocery store, a wholesaler, hospitals, school cafeterias, university cafeterias, every place that has food is already basically in the computers, and that will be the first thing that's taken over. In other words, under martial law, so the point being is that's why we've always stressed preparation. My motto for 23 years on talk radio has been simply this. You want to be where everyone else isn't during a panic. You don't want to be waiting in line. And, for instance, look at what we've had now. We've got blood tests that are mandatory where they strap you to a gurney and take blood. We don't have habeas corpus anymore. All of the guarantees we once enjoyed, knew, and I believe it was a blessing of the living God, we now are facing an uncertain future with no guarantees, and now the attack on food and water, chemtrail residue gets onto the crops, it gets into the water, and who knows what they're going to add to it. Again, my deepest concern is at some point they change the formula, and all that which is already resident in our lungs, resident in our cells, they add A to B, and guess what? They achieve their goal. And this is, by the way, these are all spelled out in their writings and their statements. They want the world's population taken down by 95%. And I believe they're going to succeed probably with two-thirds of that. And then I believe that obviously during that time, people are going to know that they know that they know that this was all planned. And that's why people, as families, as individuals, have got to prepare.
We're going to take some phone calls with you next, Stephen, on Coast to Coast AM.